Hey there, welcome to the About Your Body podcast. I'm Rachel Holt, the founder and one-woman show behind About Your Body. I'm a visual designer who has an ever-growing interest in the biofemale reproductive system. I want to use my design skills to empower people, especially young girls, to learn all about how incredible their body is and what it can do. I would like to acknowledge that this podcast was recorded on stolen land, the land of the Gadigal people. I pay my utmost respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their continuing connection to Australian land, sea, and sky. Australia always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the About Your Body podcast. Today, we are speaking with the superwoman, Melissa Vranjes. I am so excited for you to hear this episode. Melissa is a feminine well-being educator and holistic sexuality coach. She's trained internationally with world-class tantric teachers, leading menstrual cycle coaches, and studied with fertility awareness experts. As a certified educator and coach, Melissa empowers women to reclaim their femininity through menstrual cycle awareness, holistic sexuality, and fertility awareness. She has facilitated workshops, retreats, and online programs for hundreds of women worldwide. She teaches women how to embody the power of their menstrual cycles and how to embody sexual aliveness within and in their partnerships. Melissa leads the way to open up real and authentic conversations about the vulnerable and sometimes taboo subject that is women's health, well-being, and sexuality. She guides women to thrive in all areas of their lives through an integrated and holistic approach whilst advocating for a world of thriving, well-educated women. Without further ado, I think that says it all. Let's get into the episode. Hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Rachel. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on the About Your Body podcast. I would love if you could just start by telling our listeners a little bit about who you are, what you do, and maybe what you aim to achieve through your work.
So who am I? So I am a feminine wellbeing educator and holistic sexuality coach, and I work in the capacity of one-to-one with women, coaching them around their sexuality and also around the menstrual cycle. And those are essentially the three pillars that I talk about in feminine wellbeing. So I definitely do want to empower women in all of their being. And I wish I could do it in all different areas, but those are the three that I stick with mostly because for me, they have been the most impactful on my life so that I can thrive, so that I can be sexually confident, and so that I can live in my feminine body and be really proud of that. So yeah, I want to see women liberated and unique in their self-expression and worthy, whatever it is that they desire.
Oh my goodness, amazing. We need more people in the world who have that mission. Would you even be comfortable sharing with us how that has impacted your life? I would love to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it started about 5.5 years ago when I did my first yoga teacher training, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is this coming into your body stuff? Like, I just was so new to it. And for me, it started this kind of domino effect of what it felt like to truly live in my body and appreciate all of my being, like the stuff that we're taught not to love, or the old narratives and old limiting beliefs out there that tell women that they shouldn't express themselves fully, or they shouldn't be too much or too loud because it's seen as X, Y, Z, whatever. So for me, coming into my body and learning about my body allowed me to harness the power of what it feels like to be a woman. And for that, like those three pillars that I spoke about, my menstrual cycle, I could heal my hormones. I could understand why my moods were like wacky. And other times I was like, whoa, I'm so turned on. And other times it was like, leave me alone. And in terms of natural contraception, I always had challenges around this. Again, it came back to my hormone health. So understanding that allowed me to not use synthetic hormones and come into a natural state of being within my hormones, and then sexually feel confident in an intimate space and voice what it was I truly desired. So it gave me a lot, but most of all, it gave me the confidence to be in my body and to be so proud and so stoked of who I was as a woman.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Harnessing your power as a woman. That I want that sentence tattooed on my face.
See, I've got it on my butt. Yeah.
No, that would be quite fitting. I think that the journey that you've just described, that's the journey that I'm trying to go on. The reason I started About Your Body was because of pretty much exactly what you said, that we're taught to be so afraid of our bodies, and we're taught to hide so many parts of them, be ashamed of them. If you even just think of over time how women have been oppressed in so many different ways, a lot of it stems back to the body, whether it's overtly or covertly. And I am so excited to be helping break down that narrative of your body is this scary, monstrous thing that you should be really afraid of. And particularly when it comes to periods, I think your period can actually be amazing. But I grew up obviously hating my period. Like, it's the most annoying thing. It comes whenever you don't need it. It makes you so moody. Mm. And I want women to be able to go on this journey of being able to understand that that's actually a really powerful, powerful thing. It sounds like working with you, women can gain a better sense of freedom in a way, like a freedom lifestyle to live just who they are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is it. Like, the more liberated woman, the more women who are connected to their bodies and living their true expression of life, the more women and the more the world will thrive, right? Yes. The more women will be able to harness their power, feel connected, feel in tune with other women rather than comparing themselves, because we're all accepting of our own unique expression. So yeah, absolutely. Amen to that.
Amen, exactly. And when you have a greater understanding of feminine well-being, and you can therefore harness your power as a woman, you can harness the power of the three pillars that you were talking about, understanding them better. I don't know, what significance do you think that has on the collective? You sort of touched on what it has on the individual woman, which is incredible, but I feel like as a collective that will make such a difference to the world.
Absolutely. And knowledge is power, you know, and that has been my whole theory through learning about my body, is the more I know about it, the more power I have. And it's not in the power that's like, I'm going to dominate. It's like the power of coming into full sovereignty within your body. And for women, a lot of her body has been left out of the education system at schools, right? There were so many young women growing up unaware of their bodies, thinking that, one, they aren't normal, two, they're challenged with health issues which make them feel insecure, they have imbalanced hormones, constant period pains, they're unsure about natural contraception and have to go through this whole debacle of like altering their hormones to figure things out, or even how to have mindful sex. So I personally feel like, you know, the significance of gaining a greater understanding of feminine well-being is that it is your power around sovereignty of your body.
Oh my goodness. Yes, 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 yes. I love that. And like, what does the process generally look like for you, or for you, or one that you would describe or recommend to somebody? What does the process look like for kind of even taking the first step to gaining a greater understanding of the world of feminine well-being?
Yeah. The first thing, you know, it depends. Everyone comes to me for different things, right? So I work with what comes up first. So some women, it's like, I just want to know about my cycle so that I'm not such a bitch at this time, or I'm not like, I can't handle my anger, all these kinds of things. So, you know, let's talk on the menstrual cycle here, is like understanding when you do have certain moods and how you can work with that, meeting it with so much self-compassion and understanding and acceptance that actually I'm a woman and my hormones fluctuate and I'm never the same every single day, because that's a part of living in a cyclical nature. So having that, you can meet certain things within your body with compassion, with love, with kindness, and then learn about them. So I think I went off topic of the answer of the question there.
No, I like the tangents.
Yeah, I'm all about the rambles, be careful. Yeah. But you know, you get what I mean there. It's like, what does each individual, where do they want to go? What brings up a question for them? It could be around body confidence, right? Like that's there. I want to have body confidence. I want to feel good in my body. So then we start working with, right, what old belief systems or what outdated ideas do you have around your body that doesn't allow you to love your body? Mm. Around your sexuality, what old beliefs or what things are holding you back from like completely harnessing your true expression of sexuality? And it can be things that old partners have said that we then work through and start to unravel and come into the truth of now, right? Not the truth of the past. Maybe that was the truth of the past. What is the truth now? And what is it that you're truly ready to grab onto and create in your life?
Oh my goodness. So it sounds like there's, you incorporate a practice of self-compassion, perhaps, and definitely also kind of streaming into the world of desire. Like rather than I need to procreate to survive, sex can become about what do I actually want? What do I desire for myself? And I love that. That's beautiful.
Totally. Yeah. And
what you said about the effects that other people's words have on us as our, or even actions, sometimes it's not words, sometimes it's just a look on our perception of our bodies and our sexuality when we're younger. I don't think I know anyone who wouldn't resonate with that, whether it's about your sexual preference or whether it's about body confidence. Or for me, I grew up feeling very scared of my body, feeling afraid to give birth, afraid to get my period, afraid of really natural things that are actually really good for you. Your period is amazing once you find out what it actually is.
Yes.
There is a quote that I love from your website. I'll read it out. For too long, there has been a shroud of misinformation and shame surrounding topics of womanhood. When properly understood, the feminine body can have transformative power, which can unite us all. And I would love to know, what can this power look like? Because it sounds like it is either your purpose or one of your purposes to empower women. And that is amazing. So I think you would be a perfect person to ask.
Totally. What it looks like for me, because everyone's different, right? But what it looks like for me is I believe that when we learn about our bodies, it encourages other women to learn about their bodies. So again, it comes into that domino effect. And then together, because you're learning up about your body and because you start realizing how incredible the female body is, how good it feels to have that support of other women, I honestly believe that together we are stronger. Together we have power. And the power is having ownership over your body, your health, your femininity, your sexuality. Mm. And I honestly believe that the female body has so much power that is yet to be harnessed. So when there is more women doing that and there is that support and that inspiration, motivation to do it, is that you just create this hub of thriving women, of women who feel connected, who inspire each other, that who live in alignment with what feels really good for them, not what society is telling them, social media. They're not comparing themselves because they have unraveled their truth within themselves.
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. And there's this sort of, the way I like to put it is that society has tried to have a hold on women's bodies for as long as, since the dawn of time. sort of, you can think back to the story of Adam and Eve even. And yes. There's so much focus on empowering ourselves, absolutely. However, I think it has to come from the inner perspective and the feminine perspective if you are in a feminine body or if you are a female, because we are so quick as a society to do whatever the patriarchy tells us to do. And in that way, the patriarchy can maintain their hold over our bodies. And if they have hold over our bodies, I think they have hold over our minds as well. And I don't want the patriarchy to have hold on any of me personally. And especially, you know, when you're a young person at school, I don't know if you went to single sex school or co-ed school, but I think it starts even earlier than this, but a pretty obvious example is that we separate little boys and little girls in the classroom when we're talking about sexual education and, you know, anatomy. And there's no reason that we shouldn't understand how the male body works, and there's no reason that men shouldn't understand how the female body works. In fact, I think it would certainly benefit our society if we all understood how all bodies worked.
100%, absolutely. We're both mysterious.
Yes.
Things, right?
Exactly, yes. I don't understand either of us or anyone across the gender spectrum. So we certainly need more education around that. I don't know, how was your, did you go to high school and primary school in New Zealand?
I did, yeah, and it was same sex.
Okay.
And then on top of that, it was a Catholic school as well. So there was just so much shame and like repression around sexuality then, you know, so many stories. So
okay, yes, I was going to ask you if your sex education at school was good or not, but I'd say perhaps not.
No.
Yeah. I went to a secular school, which I think you know, that's where I'd like to send my kids, to secular school. I think that it will be I think you can get quite a good education at those. I went to a public school as well. There are a lot of queer people at my school because I went to performing arts school, which was just awesome to be, you know, not in the little straight bubble that most schools try and put you into. But even at the public co-ed school, where there's lots of queer people, the sex education was really not up to scratch. I would describe it probably as unsatisfactory. It wasn't like it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good.
Yeah, totally.
Did you have to unpack any of that, I don't know, Catholic guilt for yourself, or did you go to a Catholic school but not really take any of that on?
Absolutely, both of those things. So I don't practice it now. In fact, as soon as I could go out drinking and partying, I was like, this is not my life, this is my life, and I love to party. So I left that as soon as I left school, really. But yeah, there was definitely stuff to unpack there, because it's no sex before marriage and you have one partner for the rest of your life, and you know, that partner is the only partner that you've made love with. And I couldn't get my head around it when us as young women were all starting to explore sexuality, and there were some friends who had sex with like three people, and we're like, oh my gosh, she's had sex three people, you know. It was like this big idea, and so it was almost like validated that the less people you had sex with, the more, like, I don't know what to say, like the more cleaner you were, or like you weren't, I don't know, there was just this idea that the lower your numbers, the gooder you were. And after unpacking that, and I think that came from honestly moving overseas and living overseas for almost a decade, and going, what the hell, that's absolute bullshit. I celebrate everyone who wants to explore whatever it is with however many people, that is healthy, as long as there is boundaries, respect, and safety. So I unpacked a lot around that, and it's crazy how ingrained it actually is, because I was like, I don't give a shit about that. That's, you know, I don't even believe in that. But yet it was still, I could feel myself tightening up in certain conversations. So I had to unravel that and unpack it.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same, actually. It's I've always said, I shouldn't say always, because when I was like a judgy 13-year-old, I didn't say this, but since becoming an adult, I've always said, you know, you can have a sex with as many or as few people as you like. And it's so great that we all talk about sex. Yet when a conversation actually comes up about sex, and where, especially I think one-on-one, I'm always fine. But when it's in a group, I'm like, oh no, I can't do this. I can't talk about this. And I tighten up and I sort of recluse. And it's so funny, because that's so kind of against the values that I try to, that I preach, or I'm not practicing it. In the US, yeah. In US Christian circles, they call what you're describing purity culture, where the goal is to stay as pure as possible.
That's it.
And I think that is so unhelpful, and not unhelpful is a huge understatement, damaging. I think that's very damaging.
Yeah, agree.
If you don't want to have sex with more than one person, please don't. I'm so happy that you know your boundaries, but it's really important that we look at how, or who, not how many necessarily, but who we want to have sex with, because we want to do that, as opposed to, you know, the nun at school told us not to have sex.
Exactly. There's no shame in either, is there?
No.
Gosh, it goes so deep though. Like you say, I love that you said it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, even like eating the forbidden fruit, and like the woman's body is almost the forbidden fruit at times as well. And like, be careful. There's just, it is so much ingrained into society and around women's pleasure and sexuality. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think the one that bothers me the most is probably, you know, you just put it perfectly there, that women's bodies are forbidden fruits, or the forbidden fruit. Maybe there's only ever one forbidden fruit. Because it's like, oh, she tempted me. She was such a temptress. Well, control yourself. If that's the case.
Totally.
She's just living her life. She's just being who she is.
Exactly.
And I always think it's very funny with the story of Adam and Eve. I believe that was put into the Bible because it is meant to tell us that you shouldn't try and just blame somebody else when you have done the wrong thing, or done what you knew wasn't right. So Adam eats this apple, and God's like, Adam, I told you not to eat that. And he's like, the woman made me do it. And it's like, Adam, you ate the apple.
Adam, go to timeout. You did it yourself.
Exactly. I mean, following on quite smoothly, the reason I started About Your Body was to open up the space for people, particularly young women, to learn about themselves, to eliminate the fear that surrounds their bodies and the stigma, and to reclaim their power. So why do you think it's so important to encourage women to talk more openly about their body, their intimate areas, like their genitalia, their breasts, normal things that are part of our bodies?
Good question. Honestly, so many reasons. For their health, for empowerment, to create safe boundaries, to enjoy their bodies, to enjoy being in relationship with another, but honestly, mostly to harness the power and the pleasure that lives inside their bodies. And like you say, we've been taught to kind of be scared of that, or what is down there, or how do I touch that, or what about if I do something wrong? Yet there's never this supportive feel of like, explore your body. Your body is your home. And what would it look like to explore home within you? What does that feel like? And a beautiful quote that I heard from a friend of mine, Stacy, was, shame dies when stories are told. And I just love that, because we all have these stories within ourselves, our mind, body, to share. And when we share that, the shame can kind of just melt off or dissolve, because within that you're held in a safe space of other women who most likely are feeling the same. So we all want to know if we're normal, because we are constantly showing these perfect images, or these perfect models, or these perfect stories, even social media, right? We're all striving for perfection, yet it does not exist. Only our unique expression exists. And when you get to harness that and remember that that is important, then like life is yours. You get to make of it what you want. So talking about your genitalia, talking about your breasts, sharing stories that you may feel shameful about, and let that shame dissolve and pass away when you speak about it in a safe space.
I love that. And the safe space to be created, it might look different for everybody, but I think that most places can be a safe space if they feel safe for you. And that is just so wonderful. I shouldn't say most places will be a safe space, because they won't, but any place that feels safe for you, I think, is a safe space. I would love if you could touch on how we can create those healthy boundaries with our body and with our sexuality, and perhaps what you mean by that.
Boundaries, for one, is something that you create from feeling either good or not so good in your body, right? So something kind of makes your tummy turn, or it's like, oh, it just doesn't feel right. And you know, like, I don't want that to happen again. So creating that boundary, creating something to create a safe container within your body. What was the question again?
What that can look like for an individual.
Yeah, creating a safe boundary. So for me, creating a safe boundary, I'll go off on what feels good for me, is that, let's talk intimately, right? Mm-hmm. Is I don't like really fast, intimate connection sessions. Like it shuts me down. I feel like there isn't time respected on my body for my arousal to build, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, a boundary is I like to go slow. And when it goes fast, it doesn't feel good in my body. And I've explored that, and I understand what that feels like through self-practice, through practice with my partners. And I've created that. So I know when things are starting to move fast, I can voice, look, I need things to be slow down a little bit. I love it when you take your time with me. It creates connection between us. So there's this language that keeps flow and grace going in those kind of awkward moments where you think, oh no, I'm going to hurt his, her, they feelings. I don't know what to do. But when you have that language that supports flow, you're respecting yourself, you're knowing your worth, you know your value, and that other person knows it as well. So creating boundaries is absolutely fundamental in an intimate space, and everywhere, you know, not just in an intimate space, but that safety is absolutely key.
I love that. Yeah. So boundaries enforce or create safety, and you need to know what you like and don't like to put a boundary in place.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. And that all comes from exploration.
I love that. That's beautiful. It's always just made me quite sad how little we talk about taking care of our bodies in general. But back to sort of what we were talking about before, how little we talk about taking care of our vulva and our vagina. And some people might not even know that the vulva and the vagina are not the same thing, but the vulva is the external genitalia, and I know you know this, but for the benefit of the listeners, and the vagina is the vaginal canal, you could say, and that whole area is thought of as like dirty, and we'd rather pretend that it doesn't even exist, particularly when it comes to our periods and the time of menstrual bleeding. It's considered even more disgusting, which it really isn't. Could you enlighten us on what caring for our vulva and vagina might look like?
So I'm actually working, I'm a spokesperson for Colorex, and they do some amazing work around normalizing vaginal care, especially if you are needing extra support through certain intimate challenges that many women do go through. And I love what their products offer, their natural approach and how inclusive they are. So caring for your vagina could look like using products. And my personal opinion, I would recommend Colorex and looking into to their brand. And it can also look like creating a relationship to her, if she's a her.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just thinking that she is an area where you pee, where you birth babies from, where you have sex, where you make love. So actually creating a relationship could look like in meditations and just holding your hands over her, cupping her, talking to her, asking her what her boundaries are, asking her what she wants, consent with her, always asking her before you insert anything, do you want this? Knowing that she loves to be touched and cared for and appreciated and loved. So yeah, the approach of caring for your vulva or your vagina, in my personal opinion and how I've done it in my life, is creating a friendship and a relationship with her. Mm-hmm. So what would it look like if you're walking up to like this new best friend and you just knew you were going to be such great friends? How would you approach that? So it might be like, oh, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not sure like how this interaction is going to go. I'm not sure what it's going to bring, but it feels good. It feels like this could be a really cool relationship. So yeah, how can you create that relationship where there is respect, honesty, trust, consent, safety, boundaries, appreciation? And then yeah, that's like a beautiful start to caring for your vagina.
Yeah, what a fantastic analogy of the best friend. That's such a great comparison. And I think that idea of, I don't think I've touched on that in the podcast before, but the idea of consent within yourself, how wonderful that consent does not just have to extend to, I think when we think of consent, number one, we think of just like sex, like penetrative sex. That's all we associate it with. But consent is with everything. Consent is whether you even want to really be talking to somebody.
And so
consent certainly extends to our time with ourselves, but I'd never really thought about it like that. So thank you. This is slightly different topic, but I would just love to know you explain things so concisely, so easy to understand, which is what About Your Body is all about. I don't personally like when things are explained really convoluted, only using medical terms, for example. Like, it's great that you are able to present these ideas in a way that are, or these facts in a way that are so accessible. So thank you. And with that being said, I would love if you could also touch on discharge, just even a simple explanation of what this is and what it means, or what it might mean, depending on what it looks like.
Totally. This is a great topic. Obviously, with fertility awareness, I talk about cervical fluid or mucus every single day. And even the word discharge is like, there is so much shame around that. And women being like, oh my God, well, I don't have that. No, my vagina doesn't do that. And it's like, actually, I hope it does. I really hope it does, because that means that you have a healthy vagina. So cervical fluid, as I call it, just through being a fertility awareness educator, is actually created in the cervix. So the cervix is at the back of the vaginal canal. Sometimes it feels like the end of your nose, like this knobbly little button. And the cervical fluid is created in cervical crypts. So it gets a little bit scientific there.
Okay.
Based on that, so you can just come back to the cervix if that is a little bit easier to digest. Based on what your hormones are doing, your cervical mucus will change, which I just think is absolutely phenomenal. So at the start of your cycle right there, there is blood that's obviously from the uterus that comes down through the cervix. And then once your bleeding is finished, estrogen starts to rise all the way up until ovulation. And that cervical fluid becomes a little bit sticky at the start, and then it becomes more and more abundant, and it will become more slippery, more stretchy, clear. And this is because of the hormone estrogen. And this is literally the gateway to a woman's fertility. When she can start understanding this cervical fluid, it allows her to know when her most fertile time is. So education around cervical fluid, it is like the key to natural contraception and conception. And then after ovulation, progesterone comes on the scene. So at the start of the cycle, estrogen more dominant. End of the cycle, progesterone is more dominant. Mm-hmm. And what that creates in the cervix or the cervical crypts is a sticky, pasty, kind of thicker type cervical mucus. And this isn't as much. You'll probably see it in your knickers. It'll be a little bit drier, maybe a little bit yellowier. Mm-hmm. And that's on the end of your cycle. And then what's really amazing is before your period, sometimes you can feel like, oh my God, I think I just got my period. And you look down or you feel, you go to the bathroom and it's actually just cervical mucus. Mm. And that's a mucus plug that's actually at the cervix. It's dissolving, preparing for your period. So cervical fluid or discharge or cervical mucus, whatever you call it, is absolutely amazing. And it means that your vagina is healthy. It helps you with your fertility. It's based on your hormones and what they're naturally ebbing and flowing and doing. And I will say one thing here, that if you are on any kind of birth control, your cervical mucus will sound or look completely different to what I've explained. It'll probably stay the same all the way through taking a type of birth control or something like that, but it will be different depending on what contraception you are taking.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you. That was just like the best I've never heard somebody explain discharge or cervical mucus so concisely.
Yay.
And it's, I was on the Depo Provera shot, the contraceptive injection, for I think 2 years, because that is about the maximum that you can take it. And so I was on that. And during that time, you basically have, or from my body anyway, basically had no discharge. And I know that I produce a lot of discharge naturally, because when I wasn't on hormonal birth control, I did. And so it's really interesting to see that shift. Do you have many clients who are not wanting to have children, or are they mainly, do people come to work with you because that's their goal?
At the moment, it's mostly women who do not want to conceive. And I work with a handful of women around wanting to conceive, but mostly it's women who are coming off hormonal contraception, who are wanting a natural method, but they're not wanting to have children yet. So it's really understanding their bodies.
Yeah, your body is able, I think, to be sort of give you more intuition when it comes to fertility and your cycle in general, and your menstrual cycle, which we haven't really touched on what that is, but I think most people listening will know. Your menstrual cycle is it's longer than, it's not just your period. So I think your menstrual cycle can tell you a lot about you. When I was on the progesterone only pill, which is called the mini pill, that made my, what you call PMS, so bad. I was so horrible before I got my period. I was horrible. And just coming back to understanding your body, I didn't understand that it really meant that I was getting my period, and that once I got my period, those horrible moods would actually subside. And when you don't know that it's your period, I started to feel personally like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with me? What is going on in my head that's forcing me to feel this way? Something must be wrong in my life. Absolutely nothing was wrong with my life. I was just getting my period and the hormones were making it, you know, amplifying that that experience, which is not the case for everyone, but that's what that drug did for me. So spreading awareness as you do is so amazing. Thank you. And thank you so much for your time in explaining all of this. My listeners will absolutely love this, and I'm sure they'll probably have a lot of questions. So be prepared for some DMs.
Ready and waiting.
But I would love, love, love to know, you can say more than one thing for this answer if you'd like, but the last question that I ask all of my guests is, what is one thing that you wish you had known about your body when you were younger?
Yeah, two main things. I'm going to say two things because they're kind of both equal. And that is the first thing, that my body was for myself and no one else. That my own validation was enough and I didn't need to seek that externally. And then the second one is definitely that natural contraception was a thing. So I didn't have to screw up my hormones and go through so much strife of trying to figure things out and go through deep depression, because I was, like you expressed in your story, what the pill was doing. I had similar things with what the IUD was doing for me. So I wish I had learned about that a lot sooner. So yeah, those are the two things that I wish I had known about my body.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for your time today. You've been an absolute joy to speak with, and I have loved hearing your insights. You are a wonderful person. Before we go, would you like to tell everyone where they can find you?
Yeah, thank you, Rachel, and thank you for having me. What a great conversation. Fabulous talking to you. So the best place is Instagram at Melissa Vranjes. I won't spell it out. I'm sure you've got it in the show notes.
I will leave it in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, and then even on my website, and that's www.melissavranjes.com. And every fortnight on the mailing list, definitely join the mailing list, because every fortnight I release either book recommendations, practices, tools, anything all around the three pillars that I talk about: menstrual cycle awareness, holistic sexuality, and natural fertility.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much. And I will be signing up for your mailing list right after we hop off this call.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the About Your Body podcast. I hope you found joy and comfort in learning about the biofemale body and the power that it holds. In the show notes, you will find links to the About Your Body Instagram page, which is full of free resources and illustrations explaining biofemale anatomy, as well as a link to the About Your Body Etsy store, where my art is available for purchase. And if you're a business, organization, or entrepreneur working in the women's health or women's empowerment space, we could work well together. Please reach out to me via my website, which is www.byrachelholt.com, if you'd like to hire me for graphic design or artistry services. Until next time, here's to learning about our bodies.